The Signature of Paul, July 2014. The Signature of Paul. The purpose of this lesson is to show that Paul wrote 13 letters and only 13 letters. I'm going to read the introduction of every book of the New Testament and show the differences between the introductions and comparing to how Paul wrote the beginning of each letter, and that in five letters he personally signed the letter. I will also show that it is impossible that Paul wrote Hebrews based on the introductions and his signature and a bit of the content. Let's start with Matthew. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, 2, and 3. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, Isaac begat Jacob, Jacob begat Judas and his brethren, and Judas begat Phares and Zerah of Tamar, and Phares begat Esrom, and Esrom begat Aram. I think Aram is related with Abraham. I think so. No, before. After Abraham. Okay. Matthew starts with a genealogy that is purely Jewish. Nothing in Matthew shows that Matthew is writing to us Gentiles. Mark. Mark 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Two things to note about Mark. The gospel, or good news, of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is about the life of Christ on earth. The gospel of Christ is not to be, this gospel of Christ is not to be confused with the gospel of Christ that for the dispensation of grace. Same wording, different audience. Mark wrote to Israel, Paul wrote to Gentiles. See that Mark introduces John the Baptist as the prophesied forerunner of Jesus, as we see in Isaiah. Isaiah 40 verse 3. "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." I don't know if you noticed that, but it says, "In the desert, a highway for our God." Clearly, this is reference to Jesus Christ, which we see later in Mark and the other gospel, that the one who's prophesied is called God, and we know him also as Jesus Christ. And, you know, good point. Mark is purely a Jewish book written to the nation of Israel. Luke chapter 1, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Luke 1, verse 1. "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us." See, here the difference is that Luke was not a follower of Jesus Christ on earth, so he has to say, "Well, I got this information from other people." That's fine. "Which from the beginning were high witnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus." We're going to see Theophilus again in Acts. Luke 1, verse 4, "that thou mightest know the certainty of these things wherein thou hast been instructed. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. So we see here that, yeah, I'm not going to read the whole thing, the whole book of Luke, but we see that Luke starts with the birth of John the Baptist and with the birth of Jesus. A few, now you have to continue reading. No doubt here that Luke is describing the life of Jesus. Book of John. John chapter 1, verse 1 through 5. I'm going to skip to verse 11. So John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended not. Now going to verse 11, John 1, verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Whoa! Who are his own? Jesus, a Jew, came to Israel, a nation of Jews. This is obviously that John is writing about Jesus as God during his earthly ministry. Do you remember what Jesus spoke with Nicodemus, or what he told him? Ye, plural, ye must be born again. Sends you right back to Ezekiel's dry bone. The saved persons of the nation of Israel will be resurrected to be kings and priests on earth. The expression born again only applies to the nation of Israel. They are waiting for the resurrection so that they can continue living on earth. Now moving on to Acts. Acts chapter 1, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus. See, we're back with Theophilus. So Ruth and Acts are written by the same person. As far as I can tell, Luke is the writer of both. Of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, verse 2, until the day in which he was taken up, that's the ascension, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostle whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, said he, ye have heard of me. We see here that who wrote Acts also wrote the book of Luke, since both authors, probably Luke for both, that's what I'm saying, write to Theophilus. Oh yeah, and Luke is also mentioned in the book of Acts. At one point he introduces himself into the book as being a companion of Paul. I don't have the reference, but you know, you reading Acts, you will find that suddenly Luke says, and we went someplace, instead of excluding himself from the text. Luke 1:3, it seems good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all these things, of all things, from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. The content of Acts is very Jewish from the start, seeing that these people are waiting for the kingdom of God and the promise of the Father. The kingdom of God is an expression in the Bible that says the kingdom will come to earth, not us going to heaven. We see the name of Paul mentioned in Acts, which is okay, you know, we know that. Acts 7, verse 58. Acts 7, verse 58. And cast him out of the city, you're talking about Stephen, and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul, that's Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul the Apostle. Obviously, when you read Acts, that Paul is not the author. So, okay, so now let's move on to Romans. Now it's getting butt for me. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. The first word of Romans says, Paul. Let's look at 1 and 2 Corinthians, which are the next two books. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which in all Achaia. Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. By the way, are you faithful? Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, which is the same as Timothy, the servant of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Colossians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother. So far, from Romans all the way to Colossians, we still have Paul in the first verse. This continues. 1 and 2 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 and 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, sorry. That's important when it says Christ Jesus or Jesus Christ. There's a reason for that. Titus chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. Philemon chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timotheus, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. Now, Hebrews. Now, this is going to be changed. So far, we've seen from Romans to Philemon, Paul is in the first verse of every book. First chapter, first always. Watch Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, 2, and 3. Verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, had in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he had appointed heirs of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Verse 3. Who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Now watch what the authors of Hebrews say in chapter 2, verse 3. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Wow! What a difference from what Paul says. Paul was given the revelation of the mystery directly from the Lord, and the writers of Hebrews say, which at the beginning to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. It is obvious that whoever wrote Hebrews, and they're not one person, it's more than one person, received the information from those who heard the Lord when he was walking on earth. But Paul doesn't say that, because he's Paul. Paul received, well, for example, started at on the road to Damascus, right? He gets instructions directly there from Christ in heaven, and not Christ on earth. And throughout the letters of Paul, we see that Paul says, "I have received this information directly from our Lord, who contacted him, you know, by inspiration, all that stuff." Okay, let's move on to James. James is so obvious. James chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. James did not write to you. 1 and 2 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Remember what Peter said in early Acts about the people who came to Jerusalem from their different countries? Same wording here, really. Okay, don't have the same list of people, but it's the same principle. Peter was talking to Israel in Acts, and after here, he's also talking to those who were scattered. And who are scattered? Obviously, the Jews are scattered because of the persecution in those days. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's move on to John. 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. Boy, this is obvious. This John walked with Christ. Which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. Verse 2. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and shew unto you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. A direct reference to Christ on earth. As you see in the Epistle of John, chapter 1, same wording, really. Same concept, same thing about the word. Anyway, let's go on. 2 John chapter 1, verse 1. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all that have known the truth. 3 John chapter 1, verse 1. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, who I love in the truth. Jude. Jude 1, verse 1. Only one chapter. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Goes on. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified by his angel unto his servant John. Remember that in the book of Revelation, it's always an angel that's talking to John, and John is talking notes. Many people think that Christ is, you know, is really talking directly to John, but every time you see words, you know, the words of Christ in Revelation, an angel is really speaking. Anyway, now I'm going to come to this, the signature of Paul in five epistles that he himself wrote in a short greeting. Okay, so we see this in 1 Corinthians, in Galatians, Colossians, 2 Thessalonians, and in Philemon. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 21. The solution of me, Paul, with my own hand. So we're going to have this five times. Galatians 6, verse 11. You see how large a letter I have written unto you with my own hand. Colossians 4, verse 18. That the salutation by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds, grace be with you, amen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 17, the salutation of Paul with my own hand, which is the token of every epistle, so I write. Every epistle, so I write. Remember that. Philemon chapter 1, of course, verse 19. I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me, even thine own self besides. I have seen here, I've read the beginning of every book of the New Testament, from Matthew all the way to Revelation. And only in 13 letters do we have Paul writing right at the beginning. Interesting. And as we get to Hebrews, which is still controversial for some people, I don't know why, because Hebrews is so obviously not written by Paul, and the content of Hebrews also is has nothing to do with us today in the dispensation of grace. So I hope you are convinced that by reading these things right from the beginning, that especially the letters of Paul, the beginning of the letter of Paul, that Paul wrote them. And, you know, what else can I say? It's, you know, to me, it's very obvious. You don't have to, I know my Bible, okay, this Bible, you know, this is a King James Bible. And if I go to Hebrews, I can show you what it says. Oh, yeah, I just noticed something. In my Bible, it says St. Matthew, St. Luke, St. Mark, St. John. When it comes to Paul, no word, Paul is not a saint. Come on. Okay, moving to Hebrews, I want to show you something in my Bible. I don't know if you're going to see it, but it's there. And it's an error. Right here, it says, the epistle of Paul, the apostle to the Hebrews. And you probably don't see this, but I wrote in here, no way. There's no way Paul wrote Hebrews. Not possible. I don't care what they say, what they print up here, okay? Paul didn't write it. The same thing is true also if you go way out the beginning of the book. Oh, I have this little thing here. It's cute. They always say, KJ, this is a company. I don't know what these companies did. Yeah, it's a courier service, okay? It's called KJV, so I kept this little thing here, okay? Now, you see, right before Genesis, You probably have that in your Bible too. It says the Old Testament. That page doesn't belong there. You have to figure out where the Old Testament started. The same thing is true with the book of Matthew. Right in front of Matthew, let's move there. Okay, Ezekiel, Daniel. It says St. Matthew's in mine. St. Matthew in mine. Don't know why I say St. Matthew's, but probably because of some churches around here. Right before Matthew, we have this page called the New Testament. Forget it. The New Testament doesn't belong there. Basically, your Bible, you know, in general, okay, is divided into three parts. Time past, but now, and ages to come. These pages are a lie. They don't belong there. The New Testament doesn't start right there between Malachi and Matthew. It doesn't. It's not possible that that is the case. You have to figure out why, and basically, I'm going to tell you a little hint, okay? There's the Old Testament, and there's the New Testament. When does the Testament start? At the death of the testator, then you open up the will, you know, as we do today. Then for when Christ was alive on the planet, we're still in the Old Testament. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, until the death and resurrection, we are still in the Old Testament. Today, we are not in the New Testament because we are in the dispensation of the grace of God. The New Testament starts in Hebrews with the New Covenant. Remember Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31? Read it. That is going to happen in Hebrews all the way through Revelation, most of it. Okay. So that's fantastic. When you start seeing these things, then you get into what we call right division, because now you're starting to say, aha, you know, the more I study, the more I see these things, the more I see little things here and there. Other people bring things to me, and I say, I didn't know this, or, hey, I better change my mind about a certain thing. Today I was doing a lesson, I was listening to Truth Time Radio, and they were talking about there are no female angels. Well, a lot of people had buy these little things. Okay, I don't buy any of this stuff anymore, you know, the little object. And they'll say, you know, they'll have a statue and have wings. It looks like a kind of a man and kind of a, like a woman, and has wings. That is obviously not an angel according to the Bible. So if you have some of those things, get rid of them, destroy them. Angels don't have wings. Seraphims and cherubims have wings, but they're not angels. They're not said to be angels. They're said to be seraphims and cherubim. So, you know, be careful with what you read. And okay, and I know that in the Bible there is a place where there are two women with wings, the wings of stork, which is basically the image that they present to you in religion about angels, and those are definitely not angels. Anyway, I'm done with this message, and I want to conclude with a simple thing. Compare Scripture with Scripture. Look at things the way they are, the way they're written, to whom they're written, and think about what's going on. Who writes, and to whom, what's the audience. I know that many Bibles, including mine, okay, I have a red letter edition Bible, and they report, for example, that in John 3:15 and John 3:16, those are in red in my Bible. But that is not what Christ said. This is a comment from John, so that should be in black. Or if you really want to have a red-letter Bible, the whole book should be in red, because the whole book is the Word of God. So forget those red-letter editions. They can be of help, but to me, they're just a distraction, because I have to keep thinking, you know, Christ didn't say, you know, John 3:16. He didn't say that. He himself didn't say it. It's in the Bible, but it shouldn't be in red. So I hope that all of you out there are saved. And if you're not saved, all of this is a waste of time unless you get saved. So how do you get saved? You get saved by believing that how Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and 3 days after, he rose again. That's it. Have a good day.